Heaven sent me out. Very wonderful, supernatural, special friend of the same.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's Deacon Thomas Farr. We'd like to welcome you back tonight. This is Issues Preacher Man's Talk. It's Monday, February the 6th, 2017. We'd like to thank you for joining us, and we pray all is well in your life tonight. Well, tonight we're going to talk about a couple things. We're going to talk about marriage relationship topics. We're going to give some advice and encouragement. With the Valentine's Day coming up, it's only a couple of days away here. And so we want to give some words of encouragement. We know Valentine's Day is one of those days that we take and celebrate our spouses and our fiancés and couples who are together and dating relationships. But we just wanted to today encourage those marriages and strengthen them because, again, everyone's marriage is not perfect. Well, no one's marriage is really perfect, but some marriages are struggling and going through some times of testing and trials. So today we want to encourage some of the husbands and some of the brothers who are out there who may be going through some episodes or trying to figure it out. So we just want to discuss it a little bit tonight and give you some words of encouragement. Amen. So we're going to open with scripture and prayer, and then we're going to get right into the conversations. We have a couple announcements, some upcoming events, and we're going to share that also starting in February. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to start with scripture. We're going to be reading from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 13, starting at verse number 5. And the Word of God says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you're not your own. How that Jesus is in you, except you be reprobates. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, yet that we should appear approved, but that we should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates, for we can do nothing against truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and yet you are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I shall use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edify and not to destruction. Verse number 11. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, but of one mind, live in peace and in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Father, we say thank you today. We thank you, God, for the opportunity, O God, to come together in unity as the body of Christ, God. Father, we thank you, God, for accountability. We thank you for your word, O God, to ask again, examine ourselves, O God. So today, God, we pray, God, that every man would look in the mirror, would examine himself, see who he is, see what his life, see if his life and his ways are lining up with your word, O God. God, we don't compare ourselves to each other, but we compare ourselves to the Word. And we strive, God, to be more like you, that Christ-likeness would rise in us, O God. That we, O God, would do the submission unto the Holy Spirit. We'd be the men that you called us to be, the husbands, the fathers, the sons, the leaders in the community and in the church and in our homes. So we thank you, God, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, again, we'd like to welcome you here tonight. Tonight, we're going to share, again, we're talking about a couple of topics here. And you know, it's Valentine's. We'll give you a quick Christian history on Valentine's Day because there is a link. I know a lot of folks don't know that. There is a link to Valentine's Day. It's just not a cultural tradition. There is a Christian historical link to Valentine's Day and who Valentine's was. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But first, we have a couple of announcements I wanted to share. One of our big things, our Man Up Conference is about to return for the spring of 2017. Right now, we're working on April of 2017. We're going to have another Man Up event here locally in the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area. You can go on Facebook and check us there for our updates, but you can definitely listen to our show every Monday night at 8 o'clock and every Thursday night at 8:30. We'll be having updates. We'll have location, times, how you can register, sign up to join us, and we encourage you to come out, bring at least one brother with you, because we're going to be talking about some important topics that are relative to men of God, you know, and it's some of the things that we struggle with, some of the things that we can help each other overcome. And again, it's some of the things that we deal with underneath the surface as men, as husbands and fathers. Because we have to understand that we have more things in common than we are different. And it's the body of Christ for me to call you my brother, then I should be able to lean on you, look to you for guidance, and you should be able to look to me for guidance and direction as we walk this thing out. Because as Christian men, we're not made to be long rangers. We're not made to be out here alone trying to figure it all out. We have the word of God and we have the body of Christ at the church. Amen. Again, be on the lookout for that. That's going to be in April. We're still working on dates and locations, but as soon as we have it, you'll hear about it. We'll have a special broadcast. We're going to let you know what the topic's going to be, and we know that's going to be life-changing. It's going to be relevant. And there's one thing I like to say when we talk about our Man Up events, it's going to be a no-preaching zone. So what that means is it's not going to be a breakfast, it's not going to be a teaching, a sermon, but it's going to be brothers engaging one another, looking for solutions, looking to where the Word of God says for each man, not of opinions, not of, you know, hypotheticals. We're going to deal with some of the issues that we deal with every day that you might be encouraged. Amen? Amen. Also, coming up on February 18th, 2017, Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship in Hanover, Maryland is having a men's fellowship at 10 a.m. on Saturday, February 18th at the church, and this is their regular men's gathering. This month, the session is going to be from prison to purpose. And a lot of brothers, you might hear that, but we're not talking about the prison. We're not talking about Baltimore Detention Center or the jail or the maximum security in Jessup or wherever you're at. We're not talking about that kind of prison. We're talking about the prison of the mind, the prison of our behaviors, the prison of what we think about and then what God's purpose for our life is. Sometimes we get stuck in the rut of life, no matter where we come from, if we're raised in the church or not raised in the church, but how to get free from that thing. So we encourage you to come out and join us. Again, that's on February the 18th at 10 a.m. The church is located at 7466 New Ridge Road in Hanover, Maryland. You can contact the brothers out there. You can call 443-562-8086. I'll be there. Some of the other brothers from our conversations will be there. So we encourage you to come out and join us in fellowship. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight we have with us here Brother Pastor Conwell. Can you hear me, sir? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we have a little bit of technical difficulty here, so I'm going to continue on. This is a live radio show. We come to you live every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8:30, and sometimes we have some technical problems, but hopefully we're going to have Pastor Cuomo come on. We're going to have, I think we have Brother Boone on the line, so we're going to be bringing them into the conversation. So we're going to share some of that information, discussion. Well, let me start this. First, we're going to start a little bit with Valentine's Day and what it really is and what it means, you know, because a lot of people assume or don't really know or don't study or don't understand that Valentine's Day was really it goes back to, I believe it was the first, second century. He was a priest. Let's see. I have a little bit of some notes here. So one of the things he did, he was a Roman priest, and he was persecuted by the Emperor Claudius about marrying Christian couples, because I'll give you the short history here. Pornography and multi-marriages was one of the things that was normal in that culture. and for a Christian marriage to be one man to one woman, that was standing up against the emperor. So that was one of the things that he did. He was marrying folk. He was marrying folk and against the direct orders of the emperor. And because, again, the emperor believed that, well, the whole motive for the emperor for not marrying was he believed young men could be better soldiers than if they didn't have a wife and family at home to concern themselves about. So that was his thinking. So he outlawed marriage altogether. So between that being outlawed and being having multiple wives, this is what the culture that he was walking in. So this is where he stood his ground on what the Word of God said about what marriage was for one man. So he was marrying people behind the emperor's back secretly, and he was marrying them. So he was persecuted and killed for that. And then there's other historical stories to tell about what happened when he was locked up in jail, and him himself fell in love with the jailer's daughter, and he had wrote her a love letter before he was sentenced to death, and it said, "Your Valentine." He ended with "Your Valentine," and I believe that's how the tradition started. And then, well, again, we also have our super conservative Christians who believe that the Valentine's Day was a feast, a celebration around the 14th century, and it was connected with a pagan. Basically, it was connected with a pagan holiday. And then, you know, we bring that up, and it was something that the Pope, recommended to be able to celebrate in February, and took on a pagan holiday, made it Christian to celebrate St. Valentine's, and that's how it became a tradition. So now we see it as now. It's so interwoven into our culture. There's a whole marketing scheme, people's mindsets. We have women out here that go crazy if you don't get them nothing for Valentine's Day. So we can see if the Valentine's Day is a blessing or a cursing. You know your relationship. You know what you have to do. You know what happens if you choose not to celebrate it. Amen? So I'll just leave that there. Every person will be able to choose for themselves. But if that was something you'd have to do, you have to figure out that, you know, that's wherever you live to. So let's continue. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit more about, first I'm going to talk about a couple of subjects. I have seven ways to strengthen your marriage. We have seven things to start in your marriage, and seven things to stop your marriage. So we're going to hit a couple points here with a biblical background, and we're going to be able to share that information. Amen. So we're going to begin here a little bit. We're going to start with some of the seven things we need to stop in our marriages. As we look at ourselves and look at our marriages and look at, as men, look at where we are. Look where we are in our marriages and what we're doing. And we need to be able to focus and see and evaluate our marriages, see where we have to be, what we need to be doing. So it's one of the things we need to focus on stopping is focusing on our wife's past mistakes, whatever their past was, whatever they came from. So some of the things that we know about our spouses, the longer we live, the longer we're together, some of the things that come up from their past, we know who they were, the things they've done in our past. You know, everyone didn't get married and was a virgin. Everyone didn't get married and didn't have other relationships. Some of us come into marriages with children from other relationships. So we continue to focus on the past mistakes, or even within the marriage. You know, people, there's a lot of things that can happen when two people are living together and building a life together, that there could be wrong choices made or disagreements and choices, but how do we forgive? I think that's the basic thing we have to understand what it means when we say not focusing. It's not holding it against them. It's forgiving, because I believe it starts with forgiving. So if we can forgive their past mistakes, then we can move forward to build and grow your relationship. Amen. The next one we're going to talk about is stop living with unrealistic expectations. And that's one of the things that, you know, I learned personally as going to marriage counseling, to marriage counseling, also in marriage ministry discussion groups and fellowships, that sometimes we get unrealistic expectations for our spouse. And those things can carry over from the beginning. They can be miscommunications in the midst of your marriage. They can be something that you discuss 1 minute. She hears one thing, you hear another thing. And then we have expectation that our spouse is going to do something. I mean, if for the brothers out there listening, has your spouse ever done something that you thought we already talked about it, but it seems like they still did it contrary to what we talked about. So if we have an expectation of something, but it could have been a communication breakdown. Because sometimes we hear things and we both don't get the same thing as when it's spoken. So that thing is the easy way to stop that is just live in live in reality. Live in the moment. Live in today. And have an expectation, knowing who your spouse is, focusing on their good, and praying for the things that, they're their rough edges. I'll put it that way. You know, because we all know, as long as you're in a marriage, as long as you're in a relationship, you're going to understand and know who your partner is, who your spouse is, and you'll be able to pray over those things. But don't expect them to do something or be something that you know they're not. Amen? The next one, stop living with jealousy and suspicions. It goes back to trust and respect when I hear that. It's jealousy. I mean, if you're constantly jealous about where your spouse is, what they're doing, where they're going, you can't trust them. You know, you think they're always doing something, something going on behind the back, they're hiding things from you. You have to deal with that issue. Now, you could come from a place of relationship or come from your past where in previous relationships you couldn't trust. You were manipulated, you were used, you were hurt. But that goes, again, that's one of the things you have to deal with, you know, if you came out of a hurt relationship and you jump back into a new relationship, are you really healed from that thing to where you don't carry it over? Amen? So that's one thing we have to consider. The next thing, window number four, stop trying to fix your spouse. This is weaknesses. I've talked about that before when we talk about expectations. The longer you're with someone, there's some things about them that's not going to change. They don't do well. And you constantly bicker and you constantly fussing about them wanting to do because you want them to do something that they cannot, they're not capable. They may not be capable emotionally, educationally, whatever. They might not have the mental capacity to do something or even physically. So we can't constantly, you know, focus on their weaknesses. Because, again, we're all human beings. We can only do what we can do and we can only be the best person we are. And I think that comes back to us accepting our spouses for who they are and not get into the battle trying to change them, make them do something, may help them, quote unquote, try and overcome their weaknesses because it may be something. There's a reason folk are the way they are. And to take on that change and just loving them with at and loving them in a way of acceptance, that's more valuable in building a relationship than trying to change them or trying to, you know, strengthen their weaknesses. And they might, and then again, it goes back to, do you know who they are? Do they really want to change? Do they really want to put the effort in? You might see something in them, but they don't want to really put the effort in because, again, of their past, of the baggage, of the emotion, of the things that you see in them as a weakness and you think you can fix them. So we have to be careful about that. Amen. Stop living in anger and resentment. That goes to me, we hear that one, that's one that we have to, definitely always have to deal with because anger and resentment is a thing that goes with not communicating. What are you angry about? When couples fuss and fight, we sometimes get off topic and off subject and go down rabbit trails about what we're really angry about instead of dealing with the issue is. There's really nothing, you know, you're going to get angry. As people live together, as lives go, as we live life, as life comes at us and as a couple to remember, that getting angry at each other is not the goal that we're looking for. And that's not what God wants in our marriage. There might be an issue. We might be upset. But are we willing to work through the process of fixing it? Or we just want to stand our ground. And our pride keeps us from trying to work out the process of solving and reconciling back to each other. Or we just going to be angry. And I'm going to be angry forever. And I'm going to be angry whatever. And no matter what you're going to do, I'm going to remember this. I'm going to be angry. So really, a lot of these things tie together. It's about a relationship. If a relationship is not in a place where we can be open, honest, and trusting with one another, you're destined to fail. And the resentment is something we carry. We might agree to a compromise. We might agree to something, but we really want our way, and we're mad we did our way. So whatever we do, we carry that thing underneath the surface, waiting for the next time, waiting for the reason. So when something else happens, we have ammunition in our gun so we can fire up a whole bunch of stuff because we're carrying that resentment in it. I've learned a long time ago, resentment can be like bullets. You save it up. So when you've got a time, you can take multiple shots at your spouse when you're trying to bring them down. Amen? Amen. The number six thing we need to stop in our marriage is tolerating compulsions and addictions. death broad. We can do a whole program and discussion about that. But what that is if something's wrong, if something's going on, seek help. Begin to pray. Begin to find a solution, issue, if it's addictions or compulsions or things that's going on. It could be anything from pornography to spending money to not taking care of themselves health-wise, not, you know, being more healthy, going to the doctor, doing physicals, doing what the doctor says, so all those things. If we as their spouse, if we should be their closest best friend, we should be that, we should be on the front line of their lives. And if we are not, if we're just tolerating it and letting it go on, then we can't be upset when things don't change, when things go wrong. You know, are we really helping one another? Are we edifying one another? Are you edifying your spouse to help them get to understand? I know it's hard sometimes because, as men, a lot of you brothers out there are hardheads, especially when it comes to health. When it comes to health and your blood pressure, your sugar, your weight, your whatever it is. And I'm not going to go into, because we talked about it before on this show, about pornography and flirting and all the things that are what the Bible calls the little foxes that can eat away at your marriage, but you just keep on doing them. You don't even understand what it means that it could be an addiction. You know, we think addiction, we jump straight to alcohol and drugs, but there's other things going on in our lives that we seem like we can't let go, and our spouses just put up with it. So there's a wide range of that, but are we doing those things as being Christians? Again, these are the standards that we have as Christian men, as Christian husbands, and for Christian marriages, where we have to look at ourselves and determine, are we truly in the faith, and what are we doing, that we are, and we really have converted lives, we have renewed minds. Amen? The next one, number seven, this is the last one, seven things that stop in your marriage. This one is to stop thinking of only yourself and your self-interest. That's a biggie. It's about being selfish. It's about being, it's all about you, no matter what your spouse wants. And again, all these tie together, because if you're not more concerned about what your spouse and their well-being, you're already failing in your marriage. You're failing as a spouse, as a husband, as a wife. If it's all about you, what you want to do, job you want to take, where you want to live, it's got to be your way or it's no way, or we here at Issues Christian Men Talk in the past have talked about men being leaders in the home. And taking the lead, but you got to understand that doesn't mean dictatorship. And I don't think no preacher, pastor, anybody can tell you that you're in control and your wife should obey you. That's not what the submission is talking about in Scripture. That's not what the Bible teaches, and that's not where we're supposed to be. So that again can be a whole another show. But tonight we just want to talk on those things, some of the things we need to stop. Because again, we're in this season of February. We're here on Valentine's Day. And again, we sometimes get into the superficial celebrations of happy marriage, putting forth the effort to spend some money and flowers and chocolates and teddy bears and all these things. But, you know, it's one thing we posted last year, we challenged the brothers on that we talked about. If you could not get any flowers or chocolate or teddy bear or trinket, what would you do to celebrate the love of your spouse? If you couldn't get the trinkets, the flowers will die, the chocolate will go away, either melt or get eaten or go moldy. The teddy bear will end up somewhere else, under the bed, whatever, in the closet, or even given away to a child. But what could you do on Valentine's if this is a day to celebrate the love and relationship and commitment to one another? What else could you do to be able to show that to your spouse if you couldn't buy the trinkets? Amen. Again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m., and we discuss some of the issues that encourage men as their leaders and their leaders of their wives, ministering to their wives, ministering to their children, and to strengthen their walk in Christ, that they would be the leaders in the home and the church and in the community that God has ordained it to be. Amen? Amen. And tonight we have one of our callers. I believe it's Pastor Boone. Good evening, sir. Can you hear me?
Brother Boone here. How are you? God bless you, Deacon.
God bless you, sir. Thank you for joining us tonight. I just wanted to check in with you, seeing you was here on the line, and just wanted to greet you and happy February.
Happy February to you and your audience as well, sir.
Amen. Amen. Hey, you want to share anything about what we're talking about tonight? We're getting ready to go into some other stuff here. Yeah, I've seen you was on the line.
Well, I'll tell you, the topic that you have tonight is a very, very special and sensitive topic that can go on for sessions because love is just like Valentine's Day. It is Valentine's Day. It is considered to spread love, and love goes in many in many circles and facets and avenues. And as you touched in the hearts, where there's could be unconditional love as well as a love that's not welcome. It's sensitive to people, and when I saw that you were going to have such a topic, I knew I had to get on here because it touched so many of our lives, and as far as in death, as in life, as in past, as in future, as in even at your workplace, you know, there could be love. Not saying that a love that will be that you're fornicating or something like that. You can have the love of your job, and you can have the love of your car, the love of your possessions, the love of just being around people. But we have to understand that there's no greater love than the love of Jesus Christ, which actually settles all those things that you spoke of. And I'm speaking of, it puts things in perspective because as my past has grown, love can get out of control, you know. I mean, not that you want to hurt anybody, not that you want to lose the love that you have. You have to have control of your love to know that it's not a bound, it's not something that you, may I say, step on somebody's neck and hold them there. It's unconditional. It's understanding. It's having a peace of mind that knowing that the love that you have in you is the same that Christ has for you, where He has understanding and consideration and care and thinks of how you want to live in a righteous manner. So it's a very, very, very touchy subject, and I say to those who are in love and of those things that I spoke of, to think of it in a godly way. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You're absolutely correct. You know, we have to be able to, again, this is what it talks about, because in the scripture it talks about, I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And we know that Christ gave all of himself for the body of Christ, that we might be reconciled and back to God. So are we doing what Christ did for our spouse as husbands, as godly husbands? And again, one of the things I do want to just point out, because we have a lot of different folk who listen, these are the standards that Christian men have for their relationships, for their marriage relationships. Because I really couldn't hold a person who doesn't believe to these standards. I mean, it sounds good, but again, the sacrificial love, the rich brother was talking about, that unconditional love. You know, it's you need God. You need to have a faith and a foundation for it, because it's not if your spouse does what you want or if your spouse is quote unquote behaving or you're happy with them. They do nothing to distract you, to upset you, or disagree with you, then you love them. That's not the kind of love that's biblical. That's not the love that Christian marriage is based on. So I just wanted to share that. And one of the things I like to tell folk also, for my Christian folk, I don't care how long you've been in the church or if you just became saved or started this new believer. If we look back in the book of Genesis, the love we're talking about starts there, because Adam and Eve, the man Adam and his wife, and the story of the serpent and her disobedience causing his disobedience. But we understand if we continue to read scripture, we didn't see that they broke up. We didn't see they divorced. We see they continue to live I believe Eve lived to 900. Adam lived to 1,000 years, even after they were kicked out of Eden and kicked out into the world and were punished for their sin and disobedience. But they were stable. They clinging together. They were stuck and bound together in a relationship that no matter what, they stuck together. So if I believe if Adam and Eve could do it under the guidance and direction of God, even after being disobedient, we as Christians should take our example from that. And not if you need a marriage example, the marriage example from Adam and Eve, and work that thing out and see where you are when you want to compare the marriage and what your wife has done or what your husband has done. You know, there's a lot, and when you read Genesis and read the story of Adam and Eve, there's a lot of failure in relationship there and disobedience to what God said. But yet, you see the story of Scripture, they stayed together and raised a family and had sons and continued on until the Bible says that Eve passed and Adam passed away. That's just one example of marriages that were not perfect. So the expectation that your marriage is perfect, everything's going to go your way, and you're going to be overjoyed and romantic and rainbows and unicorns and butterflies, is a false sense of what marriage truly is and truly God and what it can be and what it can survive through. I'll stop right there. But amen. Here, listen, it's just Christian Mentor. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and tonight we're talking about a couple of things here. We're talking about marriage. We're talking about relationships. And we just went through the seven things to stop in your marriage. So now I'm going to touch on a couple other things. And this is another article I was reading recently in preparation for this and doing some study. But some of the things that we do in our marriages that can hinder our growth and hinder our commitment and our drawing closer together. Because, again, the Bible calls for us to be bound together. Cause a man should leave his wife and cleave to his wife. And that word cleave means bond. For about 21st century folk, that's super glue, that's epoxy, that cannot be ripped apart. Because if you try and separate them, each piece would lose something. If you took two pieces of wood and put Bondo between them and tried to tear them apart, you're going to crack both pieces of wood. So this is the kind of bond we're talking about in marriage. Amen. So tonight I'm going to talk about seven ways to strengthen your marriage. Because again, we always want to talk about encouraging one another and being able to overcome some of these things and get some knowledge and some accountability to brothers out there who may be listening. So we have the seven ways we're going to touch on to strengthen our marriage. The first one is not to make selfish decisions. In the scripture we're going to come from for that to give us a foundation, because I encourage you to write this down, or you can listen to the rebroadcast and do your exegesis and your Bible study for yourself, and then bring it back into application of your life, is Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 3. Doing nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. That scripture right there should be a foundation for every marriage, for every marriage relationship, starting there. This is not about the church members, not talking about the people sitting next to you in your pews. We're talking about the folk in your house, and you're married, your spouse. Are you living in humility with your spouse, not living under selfish ambition and trying to control? Amen? Amen. Let's see if I got my thing fixed here. Pastor Cornwell, can you hear me now, sir? Praise the Lord, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Dee.
Amen, sir. Amen. There you go. We're live. We had some problems earlier, but now I can hear you loud and clear. Amen,
Roger
sir.
Roger that.
Well, amen. So, again, we were sharing some of the things. We want to talk about strengthening and edifying marriages tonight. And, again, I hope you heard me. We talked about not being...
Yes, I heard you doing very good. I've been listening to you for a long time. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Amen, sir. Thank you. Well, I want to get your insight. When we're talking about selfish desires and ambition and conceit, when we're talking about a relationship between our spouse, our husband and wife, or our wife and our husband, what do you say, sir? What do you think?
Well, Deacon, you've been hitting the nail not only on the proverbial head. You've been driving the nail into the wood so that any man who's listening could gain a lot of wisdom by listening to what you said, because the main thing that we have to deal with as men is selfishness. especially like you said, the season of Valentine's, one of the main things that we men say is that this is another man-made day just to be able to obfuscate our money. And even though that may be a true statement, the issue is that the mere fact that there was an opening for the world to create this day says that we who are supposed to be the lovers of our wives have missed the mark to the point where the world had to was able to in the first place to invent this day, and the wives were like, oh, I'm glad somebody said something, because they didn't feel as if we were hitting the spot. Haha, to be funny. But the main thing about everybody is that we as men got to remember that it's important that we set the pace for our home and loving our wives. And like you said, Dick, perfectly, we need to make sure that it starts from being selfless. And selflessness, and again, I've been married now, over 15 years now, not because I'm perfect, not because I'm such a great husband, but because at somewhere along the line, selflessness kicked in, and I had to begin to learn to appreciate my wife and love her, and learn that loving her is not, it's no mystical book out there beside the Bible that would, the only book out there beside the Bible that would really tell you the foundation is the Bible. Every other book would just sort of, if it doesn't align with the Bible, it doesn't make any sense. We have to make sure we just do what the Bible says to love our wives. There's times when I know my wife has done and said some things, and I told my wife, baby, I do not like you right now, but I love you. Let's understand, I'm committed to God. I'm committed to you. I'm going nowhere, but I don't like what's going on right now. But the mere fact, I said, but I still love you. Let's still not get confused. That let her see that. And then I had to learn how to love her, learn how to be selfless, to listen to what she says. And sometimes she said the same thing 25 times, and I still didn't get it. I'm listening and listening and listening. Do you mean this? Do you mean this? And until she said, yes, I'm like, wow, that don't sound like anything you started off saying. But I learned to accept it. But that's the bottom line, Deke. We have to be selfless as men and learn that that's why the Bible tells us to love. It doesn't instruct the wife to love. It's to instruct the husband to love. And the reason why it does, because it's one of the harder things for us to really actualize, is the loving our wives to the point where they can to feel that, yes, you love me, because every man who's been married for any length of time have heard these immortal words, you don't love me. And we scratched our head and say, what do you mean by that? You know, I'm paying the rent, I'm putting food on your table, closing your back, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. And she still shaking her head, but you don't love me. And we didn't understand until we stopped and sat down to understand a little more what she meant by love. Deke, back into your hands.
Amen, sir. Amen. You know, I agree. That's right. Because love looks different than everybody, you know. Because, you know, even with the holiday, we're beating up Valentine's Day. But even with this holiday, you know, what's different from this time last year to this year that your wife knows how you feel about her? Is she secure in your relationship? Is she secure in her emotions? Because she trusts and respects you. The things that, whatever was going on last year, have you overcome it together? Or are you still fussing about the same things? Because, again, when we get to this, again, this is one of those things, you know, I see it, you know, a lot is, we want to take this holiday and cover up a whole lot of stuff, you know, because of candy, chocolate, flowers, take out to dinner, you know, spend a little money, and, you know, you're in debt all year, but you got some money together to go out for Valentine's, and come March, when the bills hit, you still got problems, you'll be arguing it for us the next month. So we do things sometimes. We get caught up in the traditions. Again, you know, as you know, we talk about this a lot, getting caught up in traditions and the superficial and how it looks more than the surface and the real issue of a committed marriage relationship, which there shouldn't be. Well, this is going to be dangerous, and so some of you big brothers out there are going to be shook, but it should not be one day I have to prove to my wife I love her. It should be a lifetime situation. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to throw that out there. Because I had to learn it, and I had to get there. So it should be ongoing, and it's a time that you're spending every day, all the time, every day, every week, that you, your wife knows that she's secure in your love relationship and you're committed to her. But I did like what you said about liking and loving. We have a generation now that don't understand the difference. You know, but again, I want to use the example of the Word of God, because the Word of God teaches that God, even when we are in our trespasses and sins, He still loved us. So if the Bible is our benchmark, is our blueprint, you know, if commitment is what love is really is. Commitment is not a give and take or I like it like this now, but you stop doing what you're doing, I'm not going to love you no more. That's not what we're talking about. But again, that can be a whole other show also.
That's
amen.
Pretty good.
Amen. But I want to keep going because I want to get through these points tonight, and I want to encourage the brothers and just continue, because there's some things that we have to do. We have to change. We have to, because as men, we set the atmosphere. We set the atmosphere. We're the boiler. We're the central heat and air. We set the temperature, and we need to be, and again, we want to encourage you. But next one I wanted to talk to real quick is studying the Word of God together to renew our minds. If we look at Romans chapter 12, again, all scriptures that we quote and make turn into cliches, these are the things we need to apply to our lives. And for married husbands, these are the things we need to bring. We need to bring these scriptures to life in our marriage relationship. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." If that's not a word for our marriages and how we think, how we look at our spouse, how we think about marriage, how we think about relationship, what God has called us to be as husbands, and who Anne, our wife, who God has called her to be. You know, I heard a pastor preach a while back about there's roles in a marriage. There's roles for men and there's roles for women. We don't like to talk about that a lot because, you know, we have a whole lot of role switching. But as the Word of God says, we have to have a renewed mind, and we agree with God. But I think one of the things we can do here is to study the Word of God together. Set the time when you come together in prayer and to study and to come to understanding with the issues that we affect in our lives. And again, I mean, and let me say this. I understand going to church together. I understand doing the Bible study together. But do you and your spouse have a time when the two of you sit down and search out Scripture? Even in the midst of an issue, in the midst of a struggle, or in a time of fellowship, when the two of you are reasoning the Word of God out between yourselves, setting the tone for your home. Again, we have to take these scriptures and apply them and not use them as cliches and make them or make it work in our marriage, make them work in our relationship so we can have relationships that look better than the world's relationships look. How do you say, Pastor?
Wow, and you're so right. You know, because so often, Brother Deacon, we men, and this may step on some toes when I say this, but I just have to say it, that we look at love from the standpoint, I love my wife until she starts acting like this, and I'm tired of her. I heard a lot of guys who, man, I'm so sick of her acting like this, and I love her, I do this for her, I do this for her, I love her, and she don't do this, or she don't respect this, or she, wait a minute, you know, it's not about, you know, the problem is that we're looking at love from the wrong perspective. You know, we're looking at love as if I'm loving toward her, I'm loving her as long as she acts like this, or I'm tired of her not acting like this when I love her. Something's wrong with that. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, I believe it is. I was trying to look it up. I believe it's chapter 6, and I believe it's from the 30th verse. I have to turn to it now. Luke 6, let's see here. Yes, it is. It's 32. Yeah. If you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love them, those who love them. So basically, even though this is talking about just loving people in the world, if you're doing that for people in the world, or people who are you relating to, as a married man, outside of God, the person that's the closest to you is your wife. You don't want to just say, well, I'm going to be loving toward her, I'm going to provide for her, and I'm going to do all these things until we argue. And if we argue, I'm going to show her, I'm going to teach her, I'm going to No, sinners, even guys who just out there in the world who aren't saved, they call themselves players and lovers. They'll sit back and they'll just say what they want to say to the girl that does whatever they want them to do. And the moment they don't act right, they'll give them a nasty way to make them you're not worthy of being around. They got to fight for their love. Well, your wife shouldn't have to do that. And I said it because we need to understand that we should not be like the world. We should, if we just do good for them to do good to us, what thank have we? For sinners also, verse 33, sinners also do the same thing. And verse 34, it says, but if ye lend to them who you hope to receive back, what thanks have ye? For sinners lend also. But there's times in marriage, and those husbands who have been married long enough can say amen to this next one. Verse 35, but love your enemies. There's times when the devil will make a husband think, my wife don't love me. She, oh, man, well, I can't stand her. And we want to call her some stuff. If you've been married more than 2 years, there's time for y'all to have some doozy arguments. But you can't let your mind go to think of her like those words that pop into your mind before you were saved. And for many husbands, even after you were saved, those words popped in your head. You start to think of some letters, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You start to think of some things, and it wasn't cool. But you got to remember, no, you have to love her even if you feel like the devil is using her. You have to set the pace, like you said, Deacon. It's so perfectly spoken. You're setting the barometer of your home. You're the temperature gauge in your home. And if you fail to be that temperature gauge, you let the devil save the devil, like Adam said with Eve, the devil used my wife, and then she caused the temperature to get hotter in here, or she got made the bedroom cold, and that's why we're cold, because you let the devil take over. You're supposed to make it warm when it's supposed to be cold, and you're supposed to bring the heat down when it's too hot in here. That's your job, Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. I like that, brother. I like that. Amen. You're the issue of Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Paul here at Pastor Maurice Cornwell. And we're sharing a little bit about some of the seven things to strengthen your marriage. We want to encourage marriage today. Valentine's Day is coming, and we're going to encourage marriage. We're going to strengthen it. We want to do those things. Again, from last year to this year, you know, what's different? What's your goal for next year? What's your goal to make your marriage something that you want to leave, that it would be the legacy, which your children will see, what your grandchildren will see? You know, how many of us have grandparents who have been married 40, 50, 60, 70 years? And what's the legacy? It wasn't always wonderful, but they're still there together, that they're standing. And will we be able to stand? God gives us the grace to live into our 80s and 90s and our spouses and keep our spouses with us. Will we be able to stand to be a legacy and example for a generation to come? Amen? Because, again, we have people, folk out here who don't have no married couples in their bloodline, in their family. There's a bunch of kids and nephews and cousins, and what do you call them, Pastor? Oh, this is my friend. We got a lot of that going on, but we ain't got no stable relationships. Amen. This is why I don't have a sponsor, Pastor, because you know sometimes I slip. Amen. But we're gonna strive, brother. I'm gonna go to our third point to strengthening your marriage. Is to surround ourselves with other couples who will strengthen and encourage you. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I believe it's verse 33, and it says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Now, this is one of the most important things I've learned early. I learned this even before I got saved. You don't want to hang around folk who, two things. You don't want to hang around friends, unmarried friends, who are man and woman haters, and you don't want to hang around couples whose marriage is always, they always, put it this way. Every marriage has problems and struggles, but you don't want to be right around a couple always talking down about each other in
That's
private
right.
to you or in public when they fussing back and forth with each other. That's not going to do nothing. That's not going to help you. You can't go to them for encouragement. And on the other point of this, every married couple, this should be another married couple that y'all in fellowship with that you can be around and know they're loving, committed to each other, and you could feed off of that. You know, we have to be connected with something that's good, because you hang around all these negative folk, and I understand some marriages, folks, you know, you can be a light into a dark situation, but don't let that darkness rub off on you and you take it back to your spouse. You take it back into your home. But if you're not, you have to know that you're not mature enough to hang around no broke down married folk and listen to them beat and emotionally and verbally talk down about their spouse. I can't be around that a whole bunch. I could say, hey, bro, this is what you, I think you need to do some stuff different, but I can't be, we can't hang out. We can't double date, and I'm not necessarily, I'm not coming to your house. But let me share this. Again, we all been in folk house who you didn't feel comfortable with because it looked like they talking to each other all crazy. I'll leave it right there. Pastor, what you think?
Wow, Deacon, you're on it, brother. It is so true because it's just a reality. There are times when we Christians, I'll give you an example, we say things like, oh, no, I'm strong. You know, that I can. I remember a married man who's a minister of the gospel was saying to me, oh, man, I'm strong, man. God, I've been married for X amount of years, and I said, man, here's my rule. I don't have any female, quote-unquote, friends that are my friends. Any woman who is a friend of mine is a friend of my wife's, period. There are no friends that I had who were my friend before we got married and she remained my friend no matter what. No. My wife became my female close friend, and any other woman who I knew who was my friend, I introduced her to my wife, and if they didn't, hey, hit it off as buddies, as friends, I backed up off of her a little bit. And people were, that's not cool. I wouldn't do that. Well, I'm still married. And there are a lot of guys who said, nah, I disagree, and a lot of these men are no longer married. it comes down to knowing your company. Then on top of it, even married, this married man who's a minister of the gospel said, that stuff don't bother me. I can still have those friends. He ended up, having a situation and falling and, you know, end up having a lot of turmoil in his marriage. And I wasn't going to go to him and say, I told you so, because the word of God said, but for the grace of God, there go I. And I could have failed too. So I went to him with love, as much love as I can, and said, hey, did you learn anything from that? What are you thinking? He said, well, I'm not going to let myself get back in the situation again. So I said, amen. We have to surround ourselves with men of God who are willing to let be iron. And you can't say iron sharpens iron and you're hanging out with somebody that's soft metal. You have to hang out with men who are willing to tell you the truth and lovingly tell you the truth. And like I said, Deacon, I'm committed to my wife. I'm committed to my marriage, and I don't have time to hang out with. I mean, I have a single friend, but I can see you for a minute, and I'm gone. I can't be hanging out all day with single men, and even those married men that's, yeah, man, my wife don't tell me nothing. Really? I'll tell you what, I'm going to holler at you later. I got time for arguing and fussing and none of that nasty stuff, because you're right, it just rubs off. And spirits transfer. Next thing you go, yeah, you know what? Man, I ain't going to listen. And then next, why am I thinking like that? We have to separate ourselves, come out from among them, and be ye separate. And among counsel of wisdom, there's counsel. But if you're around people who can't spell marriage, can't stay marriage, they're in their 17th marriage and on the way out of that one, and they want to try to give you marriage advice, the only thing you can tell me is what not to do. Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. Well, we at you. The next one. We're moving forward. Amen. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can always reach out to us on Facebook by going to Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. You can inbox us there. You can listen to the rebroadcast of this show. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and listen to this rebroadcast archive. All our past shows are archived there. Also, we invite you to come and join us on Monday nights at 8 p.m., Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. If you're online, you can always call in at 646-668-2636. When you press 1 on your keypad, we can bring you to the conversation and share your inputs and insight. Well, we got time. We're gonna hit one more, and again, if my audience is listening, come back on Thursday. We got three or four more. Matter of fact, we're gonna take a break right here because I don't want to get into the conversation. I have to cut us off. But I invite you to come back for the month until now, until Valentine's Day, or for the month of February. We're gonna be talking about marriage and encouraging on husbands and wives and just marriage. Because again, with what's going on in the world today, we're in the end times. Things are happening. Marriage is being tested. Sexuality and gender and all these things is coming to pass. They're becoming acceptable. I'm not going to say legal. They're becoming morally acceptable and equivalent to what God's word says, and that's the danger, that we see these things, same-sex marriage making it equivalent to what God says marriage is between a husband and wife, and same-sex marriage is morally equivalent. That's the sin, because this is nothing new. Homosexuality is nothing new to it. Fornication, adultery, those sins are not new. But the problem is we're taking what is right and what is wrong and calling it right, and that's the sin that's coming down. And we know that with everybody accepting it, it's no problem. If people do what they want to do, they in love, blah, 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 blah. But we know what God's word says, and we want to encourage those because, again, there's a generation behind us we have to look out for. There's young people, there's innocents that we have to be able to. And we want to encourage folk when they get married that don't live in the fantasy or the romantic fantasy and understand marriage is a commitment and it's work. And we're two sinful people coming together trying to live a God accepting life. And the word of God is our blueprint. It is our chalk line. It's our measuring stick. It's our measuring cup, whatever you want to call it that you want to compare it to. Don't compare your marriage to mine, and I won't compare mine to yours. But we look to the word of God for the answers or the help of what marriage is. Pastor Cornwell, sir, you share with the audience your audience, your church information, and I can reach out to you and contact you and talk to you.
Amen, Brother Deacon. Thank you for that. We are Uplift Through the Word Ministries. We are at 107 Mountain Road, Suite W, in Pasadena, Maryland, 21122. Again, that's Uplift Through the Word Ministries, 107 Mountain Road, Suite W, in Pasadena, Maryland, 21122. Our phone number is 410-768-8896. And we are going through a relaunch and preparing to move to another location. And we're believing God for this. So we're definitely listening prayers. And we are excited. We have our service on Sunday at 10 a.m. to 12 on Sunday. And we have our at the same location. And we have our Bible study on Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we have our prayer line on Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. And you can dial into our Bible study if you can't be physically present, which is at 7712. Check that. 712-432-0390. And enter the code 179465. You can see all this on our website, which is upliftmd.org. Again, upliftmd.org. And we're excited about where we're going, excited about our relaunch and where we're focusing on evangelism this year and winning 300 souls to Christ in one calendar year. So check us out, give us a call, and keep us in prayer. Brother Deacon.
Amen, Pastor. Again, I appreciate you for joining us tonight. And if you're free, I invite you to come back with us on Thursday at 8:30. We're going to continue on. We have, four more points we need to make to strengthen these marriages. And then we also have some points and some things that we need to start doing in our marriages. So we're going to build up some marriages in this month. And we want to encourage the brothers to do what you need to do. After the candy's gone, after the flowers are dead, what you're going to do between now and the next year and the next month. Amen? Amen. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Farr. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
Very special, beautiful gift. Heaven sent me a very wonderful, supernatural